When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of But Why, but this is something a bit different. It's a condensed version. It's our favourite conversations about tricky subjects, revisited and reduced into bite-sized chunks. Welcome to another episode of But Why, and today I am joined by the wonderful Anna Martha. Anna is a psychotherapist, a 2 times best-selling author, or Sunday Times best-selling author, a mum of 3, and she's also a friend of mine. And Anna has got many wonderful skills, but the thing I most admire about her is her ability to take professional knowledge and understanding about subjects and apply it through the lens of her own personal experience. And today Anna and I are talking about rage, and specifically paternal, or really, because we're both mums, maternal rage. And when I think of maternal rage, I think of that moment of, can everybody please just put their shoes on? We've all been there. You put your shoes on the kids once, and then someone takes them off, and then by the time you put those on, someone else has taken theirs off, and you try and ask them nicely, you try and negotiate, and nobody is listening, and eventually it boils over. And not only does it boil over, in my case, immediately after that, I end up having this huge rush of guilt, of shame, for having got to that point where I've lost control. And Anna and I dive into why that happens, why we get to that loss of control moment, the pressures that might lead to it, including, you know, archetypal perfect mother roles, and also what to do about it. Nobody wants to get to that point where you've lost it. It's not a nice feeling. And Anna, yeah, fundamentally believes that there are very small actions that we can do to help stop us getting to that point. But also, if we do get to that point, how to talk ourselves around afterwards so that we don't add a layer of guilt and shame onto what has already been quite an emotionally draining moment. One thing to flag is there was brilliantly some kind of confusion whereby Anna thought that the conversation we were having, I'm laughing, but in a kind way, she thought the conversation we were having was the prep call, that we were prepping for the interview. And as you'll see, we get a significant way into it when she asked me when we're actually going to start the real interview. Of course, I'd actually press record as soon as we got going.
Has the last year been a year of overwhelm? Yes, but in a different kind of guise, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, with the rage, there's so much overlap.
Yes, so that's what we're talking about today, is rage. And I very clearly had a rage in technology just now, and through my laptop across.
You suppressed it very well. We didn't see that bit.
Actually, so
I was going to say, are we talking about it from a maternal perspective? Are we talking about it from a general perspective?
I mean, do you think there is, well, you tell me.
I think, because I don't know about whether you're wanting to speak to a specific audience or whether it's all right just to speak about the maternal rage, but I feel like that's the most controversial kind of rage to speak about.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the archetype of the mother being like the compassionate, kind, caring. And that's where the most shame comes with the contradiction in how we feel we should be. And
well, this is like the crux of it, isn't it? Because I asked, because this is one of those classic topics, actually, where I was like, oh yeah, I'm interested in rage, but unlike overwhelm, I guess, I don't think it's something I suffer with all the time. And then actually, when you start like being aware of it, and it's interesting that you say you suppressed it, Do you think that when we're talking about rage, the definition of it is that very big outburst and something that is seen on the outside? Or do you think rage is how it shows up on the inside?
Yeah, both. Definitely we can unpick that with the both. Because, yeah, I think for many of us in this last year, we've recognised this kind of like this bubbling up, and it's like irritation to the max. It's like we've lost our buffer to the world. Yeah. And it's a very physical feeling.
Because anger is anger. Anger is, anger is probably a more day-to-day sense. I'm trying to sort these emotions out in my head, which I know they don't all sit in separate camps.
No.
I know they, but no. You know what I mean?
And they look different. They look different for different people, but I think it's just this recognition of how we get to this place of rage. Like this, it's kind of like this internal like feeling, this bubbling up of like irritation that we can, it's in the visualizations that we have about throwing a bowl of pasta against the wall and just smashing it. Mm. You know, we probably never will do it, but it's that fantasy of like, there's something in me that is prompting these kind of physical desires to just run away. And it's in the moments of being like, I just want to run. I want to slam open the front door and flipping get out. Run down that road. It's that same, that fight or flight, that same feeling. It's all intertwined. So people will, it will resonate with people for different reasons, because it will manifest in different ways. But
so when I say rage to you, the moments that you think about we literally can think of them, probably all of us, exactly those, the dinner time when everyone is whining and nobody will eat, and it's for me, it's like that death by a thousand paper cuts. It's like the 20th time I've asked you to put your shoes on, and there's a ticking time of, for example, having to get to school. That for me, it's those combinations. Actually, when we talk about rage, I think kind of animals. It's those moments when you're like backed up against a wall, I think. When I'm most likely to go.
Yeah. Ah, and it's the shouting, you know, it's the rage that comes out in the shouting at the kids, and then the guilt that follows. So how can we find ways to lessen that feeling of what is actually depletion? Is we haven't got a buffer. And how do we also respect those feelings in us?
And I know my next big question, this is more just me using you as my therapist. So I think quite often I'm very good at swallowing what is close to rage, like just having absolute seething thoughts running through my body. And I wonder whether I should be a bit better at not doing that. I don't know which is a healthier thing, the external versus internal.
I think it's acknowledging it and asking if you're going to see that rage. So when you feel like a little fireball in your throat and you're like, nope, I'm just going to swallow that down, calm blue oceans. You know, just even if it's not in that moment, just ask yourself, what was that about? What kind of rage was that? What was motivating it? Was it a need that hasn't been met? Is it a feeling that I haven't validated? So that you're kind of doing a little emotional debrief.
And would you go, so you're having that conversation with yourself, and it's probably worth talking it out. I think I, with my kids, do sometimes say to them, I'm beginning to feel angry. Yeah, I do. I try and give them.
Yeah, yeah. I do. And I say, you know, I often say, like, I might even give them a warning. Mum is really tired. I don't always talk about myself in the third person, by the way. I'm really tired. I didn't sleep very well last night. I feel quite grumpy. I'm going to try really hard. You know, I want to try really hard not to be calm. And if they're really, you know, if they're kind of being a bit off the wall, I might say, oh, I'm really trying hard to be calm. I want to be calm. I don't want to do shouting. So it's almost like I'm not loading that responsibility on them, but I think it's also really helpful for them just to hear that I have these emotions too. And we all impact each other. And I also want to talk to the kids when I can see they're feeling angry. You know, it's like, it's okay for them to feel angry. And just to talk about what that might be about and what we might be able to do to kind of help or meet that need that's underneath that frustration for them. Because it might just feel they feel like it, they're in, there's an injustice. Because often I find with my kids, it's an injustice of, but you said you were going to do this and now we're not. And I'm like, yeah, but time, if that's taken so long to do that we don't have any time for that anymore. And I understand, you know, and I feel really cross sometimes when I get excited about something and I can't do it. Mm. You know, it's not even about fixing it for them. It's just, it's validating it. Having low self-esteem, imposter syndrome, people-pleasing, anxiety, all of these things, they're common, right? So we just think, oh, well, it's just my thing to carry. I'm a people pleaser, or I've got imposter syndrome, or I've got low self-esteem or low confidence. And we just kind of, we let that just be, and we kind of talk about it and we okay it in each other because we're all feeling similar. And I think what I want to say to people as a therapist, and also as someone whose life has been utterly, utterly, utterly transformed by these things, is that just because it's common, please, please, please try and find it in yourself to want more for yourself than for this to be your normal. It doesn't need to be your normal. You don't need to go through life kind of feeling like you don't deserve the love that comes your way and the support and the rest and the, you know, the wonderful things that are in your life there because you deserve them. And I dedicated actually Know Your Worth to my kids, and I'm trying to remember what I wrote, but I think it was, you know, to Oscar, Charlie and Florence, I will forever work on this, on my worth, because I want to believe that I am worthy of you and being loved by you and loving you. So, you know, what a motivation to do these things, to be able to enjoy the love. Because I think for me, that was the hardest thing in my life, was to receive love, which is very sad.
Well, I am now going to wind this up. Thank you, Anna. Sorry about the confusion. It was absolutely brilliant, even if I got you slightly on your back foot. I hope
Absolutely. I know, and you know, these conversations are all about being honest, and what's more honest than me talking to you, not realizing that people are going to be listening. So yeah, there we go.